welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tooley.
Welcome to Education Currents. We're glad you could be with us. And in the studio, we have Dr. Tooley, who has his doctorate in leadership. And, we've been discussing the idea of the breakdown in our public schools and in our society. I mean, I don't think you can split the two. The idea that we need to put armed guards in our public schools to keep them safe, or if we don't do that, we need to take the guns away from the whole society to keep it safe. There's something deeper, and I put forth an idea, which actually springboarded off one of your ideas, that our society is ill just like a body is ill. And when a body is ill, it starts at the cellular level, and you begin to have cellular breakdown. And that cellular breakdown then begins to affect the organs. Then the organs begin to fail, and when critical organs fail, the body dies. And the cells of our society are the family. The family in general in the United States is dysfunctional. We have, anybody that has a single family out there, our hearts go out for you, and we're praying for you and hoping that you really do well in the situation that you find yourself in. But having said that, a single parent family is not ideal, even whether it's a father or just a mother. It's not an ideal situation. So we have single families, single parent families. Unfortunately, it's the male that's taking most of the hit. The government is, whether on purpose or not, I don't know, but it's trying to replace the father in the family. It's as the provider, as that traditional role that a father took. Marriage is under attack. Traditional marriage is under attack. You know, it's going to slip further. We now have gay marriage in many states, and it's going to slip further till pretty soon polygamy will be accepted, because why not? I mean, what do you have to say against that if you're allowing gay marriage? So the society is beginning to be sifted or broken apart, and the cells of the society, which passed values on, have broken down. And we came to a point in one of our, it was our last show, that we realized we had a lot more to say on the side of what you as a listener can do for your family. We realized we can't fix society. I mean, we can't do it no matter how hard we try. We're not God. It takes a very elitist type of a politician who really thinks they can create utopia to think that they can fix society.
Yes, and I think just diving right into this idea of what we can do, I'd say lay some principles first at the very beginning. One of the things I think that needs to happen up front is the idea of consistency. As a parent, it really doesn't matter whether you're strict or whether you're lenient, but consistency is a huge factor. And you couple that with love.
Yeah, let me add there, because this is something that is so true. People argue, they're strict, so that's what you want to be, or no, you want to be more lenient because you want your kids to be creative. The number one thing that causes a dysfunctional child is a child who doesn't feel that they were valued and loved in their home. It's not about the style, the parenting style. It's about whether the parent could communicate to that child that they're loved. And that's where it comes down for the difficulty for a single parent home, because it's hard to be the provider, the do-all, and then still have the patience and the emotional energy to provide what your children are going to need. Particularly if you have more than one child in the home, it can get really difficult. So having said that, the style doesn't matter, but to be able to communicate that they're loved does. It really does matter. Now, as a parent, one of the things, I think sometimes society gets good ideas in bits and pieces. And one of the ideas in the 70s was values clarification. Unfortunately, that became an end unto itself, and people were just clarifying their values, and then, what do we do with them now? But I think a good place to start for any parent listening out there, or parents, is to sit down and clarify your values. If you're a two-parent home, clarify your values. What are your most important values? And then do a value inventory. Once you get them clarified, once you understand what you really believe, what you want to pass on to your kids, you know, ask yourself, do I need to add something? Do I need, maybe there's something I'm missing here?
But let's dig a little deeper. What are you talking about specifically when you say values?
Values are those things that are non-negotiable to me. If you have a value, it's non-negotiable. I can't, like, for instance, suppose I value the sanctity of marriage. I believe that the sexual contact should not occur outside of a marriage. That's one of my values. Now, I know I'd be laughed at in this day and age, but so be it. That, if that's one of my values. That type of a value, I can't go along and then somebody says, well, how about under this circumstance? Or what if I do this for you? Or what if I... It's non-negotiable. That's a value. That's what I live by. It's a principle that I live by. It's the way I conduct my life, and it makes up my worldview.
So let's say that you establish your values, okay? Now, in a practical sense, how do you start building those values into your young people? And recognize, you know, let's recognize here that there are people listening who have children at all age levels. If we could talk to those people who just had a baby. Now, those people would have an easier road ahead of them to inculcate values into that young person than those people who have children who are older, and some of you are dealing with children in their teens. All of these can happen. I would suggest where I would start, especially for the older ones, you cannot say, make your New Year's resolution is that from this day forward, we are going to have values and we are going to run according to these values. It isn't going to work. What will work, though, is beginning to open communication with your young people. Communication, if I were to point to the second most important thing, is communicating. Being able to communicate with your young people.
Openly.
You have to step back and take pride out of this.
Remember, the communication includes listening.
Very much so. You can't tell them. You've got to take pride out of this, and you have to hear them. You have to hear what your young people are saying to you, what they're saying in their life. And then, so we've got constancy, communication, and I'm going to add third one, persistency. Okay.
Now, I will tell us, as a teacher for 25 years and now as a grandparent and observing children for this long, I will tell you that children learn by seeing. By seeing more than hearing. So what they see in your life, has a huge impact on them. When they see a father or a mother, and hopefully the father and mother together, unified, espousing a value, but also living that value, and consistently living that value, it almost will attach and pass on. There may be a point in the child's life where they experiment, or but they will almost always come back to that value.
Yes, they will. So you need to have a persistency, though, too. That's persistency that goes like this. When you've got that 13 or 14 or 15-year-old out there who's got their hormones kicked up higher than normal, I mean, they're all revved up and going, and they're also beginning to identify who they are. They may reject you openly, but you must keep coming back, and you must keep coming back in love, and you must be humble about this, but you also must not forget that you are the parent.
And you should, you know, along with the rules, along with the decisions you make when they ask you, you should always be ready to give an explanation, but not engage in a pointless rationalization with them. But, you know, this is my explanation. This is my reason. You know, I'm your parent, and I really care. And that's, you know, and they may not believe it at the time, but it does make an impact. So this is the way that we can create within our families safe students that are attending our schools, because you're going to send your child out. Your child is really not going to be ruined by a public school or benefited by a public school as much as it is going to be about your family, what your family does.
Well, when you do this with your child, your child now has something upon which they build themselves on. And I think that's an important thing to consider.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break now. We hope that you will visit www.educationcurrents, that's all one word, .com. And that's our website. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to continue discussing what we can do in this crazy world we live in.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. What kind of individual could best endure suffering? Most of us draw from inner strength, from faith, a belief system, or personal experience. But the irony of it all is that I could handle your problems easily, and you could handle mine without much effort. But the cards are not dealt to us that way. It seems like I got the ones I couldn't handle, and you got the cards you couldn't handle. Maybe it is through relationships that we learn to take on the struggles of life together. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome back to Education Currents. We're talking about how or what you can do to create safe students or your own students' safety, your own children, really. But it turns out to be the same thing, because we send our kids out to schools every day where it's a world of craziness out there, and it's a breakdown in society, and society's breaking down. It's our point of view here at Education Currents that is breaking down because the family's breaking down in society. And as that family breaks down, then there's not the ability to pass values on. And it used to be a lot, you know, there was a lot more of a common value that was passed from family to family in the past. But now we're getting into an anarchist age where everybody wants to do or be their own thing, and everything should be equal, and we're kind of in a mess. So we're talking about what you can do, the steps you can take to create a safety, a lifelong safety for your child.
I think right here, we've talked about some things now: constancy, consistency, persistency, love, all of them, and values. We've talked about all of those things as being important. I think now let's put some practical levels on this, and let's start first with a family that's a mother and a father and children. I would put it to you this way.
We're talking about one that's healthy. They're not, you know, fighting every night at the dinner table.
Well, even if they are, let's say that there's fighting and arguing going on there. Now it's time for it to stop. Okay, if you're in one of those family situations, you guys need to back up, take a break, and then communicate with each other and set up some rules of the game. Children are not going to be damaged by father and mother, quotes, fighting, as long as they recognize that father and mother love each other and that, quote, fighting is how father and mother are communicating. Where children are going to get damaged is when that, quote, fighting turns into real fighting. Father and mother are using each other and hating each other, and the trickle-down will be on the children. The children are going to be the ultimate victim of that. But open communication is a good thing. You know, in an Italian family, for instance, you might have some very vociferous discussions going on. Those aren't unhealthy. As long as you love each other, and fathers, I want to speak specifically to you. Your influence on your children is huge. If you are not prepared to be a father and you have a child, you better get prepared quick, because that child needs you. And if you do not want to pass on to generation and generation, three generations afterwards, the consequences of your poor choices and how you deal with that child, then you learn now how to do it. Otherwise, for three generations, they should be cursing you.
You know, the old fogey ways actually had a lot of sense to them. And I know we can't turn the whole society back, but we can turn our families back. We can turn our families back to ways that within the cellular structure of our own family, we create a healthy environment that creates a very powerful individual from our children who are ready to go out and handle the things that life is going to throw at them. You know, we don't know the future, but it could get even tougher than it is now. And we want kids that are prepared for that. And the preparation for that is a security that they have inside of themselves, so that you know, I would like, for instance, to have a 9 or 10 year old that if there were going to be guns, I could trust them to go out and I would teach them to shoot or take them to a shooting range and teach them to shoot. And I don't need to worry that they're going to take that gun later on and run around the town shooting it up, because they have they're a balanced individual. They have values in them that are respect for themselves, respect for other people, an ability to handle emotional issues. So all of these things spring from that family, from the family soil, so to speak.
So right there, just to finish up with fathers, you've talked about several things that a father can do. First of all, you need to step back. You need to make sure that you love your wife. You need to make sure that you love your children. Now, fathers, start helping your children get off of the video games, get the earbuds out of their ears, get the iPods turned off and the cell phones turned off. Not all the time, but they can't communicate with you and you can't communicate with them when they're plugged into that. And you need to take them out. Hunting trips are great. Fishing trips, camping trips. Do things with your children on a regular basis.
I know I was in a restaurant the other day and there was a family sitting a couple tables away from us, and the dad was absent-mindedly looking out the window, and the mom was looking at the menu, and the teenage girl and teenage boy were slouched down with their iPods or their some electronic device. I'm not sure it was an iPod. Pecking away at the screen, and the youngest kid had the mom's cell phone looking at a video that she'd put on to keep him from screaming, I guess. And the whole family was completely disconnected from one another. And, in this case, you wonder because, once you have these values and they're important to you, they are imparted to your children by example and by communication and by talking things out so that the kids can understand and make sense of the values that you want to pass on to them. Let's pick a value. For instance, honesty. Now, honesty is really under attack. It used to be in the dictionary that the word truth meant something that is true. Nowadays, if you look it up in many dictionaries, it means what is true to you. In other words, my truth or your truth is what trumps actual, black and white truth. So as a value, if you hold, in opposition to modern day definitions, if you hold that truth is absolute or that there is an absolute truth from which everything all other truths spring, that's a value that you have. How do you pass such a value on to your children?
Yes, and that goes on, and that goes on to segue into a little bit of a broader topic here. Consistency breeds truth. Honor breeds truth. Respectability breeds truth. These are the kinds of things that dads and mothers both must have. As a two-parent family, you must have them. If you are a single parent in this, you must now go one step further. There should not be one member of the opposite sex crossing your threshold to spend the night with you in your house when you have your kids in there without that person being married to you.
Yes.
You want to teach your young girls how to go out and do what you got messed up? Do that. Okay? But if you want your young people to have a sense of who they are, to have their own sense of identity. Now, unfortunately, we're living in a society where these young people, girls especially, are victims in this, and no one wants to believe this because, you know what, they have the right to do with their body what they want to, but for goodness sake, sexting? Let's get real. This is not something that's normal, and us also, someone has to understand that young woman is not being seen for who she is, but what kind of an object she is.
And she's selling it herself.
Yeah. And so you have to begin back here to begin to let these young people know who they are, okay? You do that by having integrity, by also only letting people into your life who have integrity. And that's why I think it becomes important now, if you are in a single parent family, either man or woman in a single parent family, you must not let anybody in who does not have that kind of integrity that you are expecting to have in your children, and you are expecting your children to see in you.
So what you're saying is that as tough as it may be, you need to crush your own emotions.
Exactly. You must not just be looking to satisfy yourself, because you are leaving a legacy.
Now, isn't that the real definition of a man or a woman, is one that can put themselves aside for their kids, for their offspring, for the betterment of the community that they live in?
Yeah, and let's understand something. We're talking about selfishness here. Selfishness never made anyone happy. When you are selfless, you tend to be much more happy than the person who is selfish. So try it. Be selfless. Be there for your kids. Be there also for yourself, because you're watching your kids grow up. And believe me, as you do these things, you are going to reap benefits that you cannot put a dollar value on.
Okay, now, we're a believer here at Education Currents that God is the one that supplies the power to do these things. I'd like you to speak for a moment to this idea that I've heard that some parents say, well, I don't want to pass values or religion on to my kids because I don't want to influence them. I want them to make up their own mind about these things, so I'm not going to pass my religion on to them or my values on to them. I'll let them figure this out.
Well, and that's something that you hear often. Okay, there's two parts to this. One part is culture. People will become cultural Christians because that's where my parents went and my grandparents went to that church, so I go to that church, and they become cultural Christians. On the other hand, if you do not give religious instruction to your children, they do not have the capacity to make a choice. It will be much more difficult for them to make that choice because society is secular. So they will not know that there's this other side that they could be looking at. Second part, let's deal with this culture. Let's deal with the community. As parents, single parents, whatever, you've got to be connected to a community. You will have to find a community in which you are comfortable, in which the values that you want to pass on to your children, the values that you want to be seen as having, is represented in that community. And one of the places where you're going to find that is going to be in church. When you go to the church, there are activities in that church. There is community in that church. All kinds of things that are good for your young people to be involved with in the church. They're not going to find it as easily outside of the church, because outside of the church, you are in a different realm. Now, believe me, churches don't judge you like some people think they're going to judge you. But what they do pass on most often are the values of consistency, persistency, honesty, integrity, and honor.
So, you know, this is something that's within our actual power to do in our homes. And there may be some of our listeners who, you know, who might need a little assistance in this, and would a good church home help them? I mean, if I, for instance, you know, just beginning to realize, I'm 25 and I made some bad mistakes, and I have a couple of kids, and I'm not married, and now I want to do all this. I mean, this can be overwhelming. I already can't handle my life as it is, but I want to. What kind of resources can I have to help me learn to have and practice my values so that I can then pass them on to my kids?
One of the best ways to do that is to find a church home. And that's easy to do. You can do it several ways. Go to the Yellow Pages, take your finger and go down churches and pick one. Or you can ask around, because churches are community. And churches are the community that you're going to find the church then. Go around until you find the one that you're comfortable in. But go to church, and in that church you're going to find community. So it really doesn't matter what church you're going to pick. But go to one where you find they have good activities for young people. They have good activities for youth and for children.
And they have accountability.
And there will be accountability in most churches. They're going to have accountability
there. For the things that you want to accomplish. If you don't want to accomplish any of these things, of course, it's all moot. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, and we're glad you could join us, and we hope you visit www.educationcurrents.com. And we will see you next week. God bless.